Winston City Council, March 6th, 7 o'clock p.m., 2023.
It's supposed to be the last week of snow.
Well, if you want more, you go to California.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's the last, supposed to be the last week of snow.
I won't.
The last meeting we went to and down in Glendale, it snowed the whole way home. Yeah.
Call the meeting order, please. Join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for coming. Roll call, please. Councilor White.
Here.
Councilor Cunningham.
Here.
Councilor Anderson.
Here.
Councilor Hobson.
Here.
And I'm here. Just we'll see the agenda, Mr. Bauer.
We have none, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Public hearing, CenturyLink franchise agreement. Please read ordinance 22-708 by title only. Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I apologize for the delay. Good evening, everyone. Ordinance number 22-708. This is the second reading. Quest Corporation, DBA CenturyLink, QC, on behalf of itself and its operating affiliates, CenturyLink, which is authorized to do business within the state of Oregon, has filed with the City of Winston, State of Oregon, the City, a written application for renewal of its franchise to locate, construct, operate, and maintain telecommunications system, the system, over, under, along, and across all of City's rights of way and public property in the City for the purposes of providing telecommunication services and sales. And the City has determined it is in the interest of persons and businesses in this jurisdiction to have access to CenturyLink services.
Thank you. Public hearing process. Excuse me. Could somebody please bring Councilor Cunningham some coffee?
Give me some. Back here on the table. Here, let me get some coffee.
I don't want to bite your head off.
All right.
Okay, so since we've had a lot of emergency, the public hearing process this evening will be a staff report by Mr. McIntosh, comments for those in support of this franchise agreement, comments from those in opposition to this franchise agreement, and then we'll close the public hearing. So we will start with Mr. McIntosh, staff report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Of course, many of you know CenturyLink has customers and does business in the City of Winston. They offer broadband telephone service to their citizens, and from time to time they have to do road work on infrastructure and be right away and in our roads and within other areas that is city owned. So this franchise agreement essentially is consistent with many of our other franchise agreements in that it collects 5% of the gross annual income for what they make in the city to offset the detriment of those projects in our rights of way. As you can recall, there was a first reading some months back. I want to say it was in January, and there was a little bit of a delay. We were a little far off between our city attorney and the recommended language and CenturyLink. So that took a little bit of ironing out. There was information on that in terms of indemnification, some other items. So the version that you have before you today has been agreed. Those details have been ironed out. Hope you've had a chance to read it. But again, it runs really consistent with some of our other franchise agreements. If they are doing work in the city, they're doing work in our infrastructure. We collect this, the 5% annual fee over their gross income. Happy to take any questions. That's this is a 10-year agreement in terms of the length, so it'll be good for 10 years with another year length of time for renewal, possibility of renewal.
The franchise fee is also is 5%.
Any questions?
Just want to approximate how much is that revenue per year?
I don't have those figures. We can get them for you in short order.
Okay, second part of the question then. Since it's like rail repair, which maintenance, like I said, is the funding that comes in, is that cumulative or is it put into the general budget and spent each year?
It's placed in the general fund.
And spent each year?
Yes.
Yes.
Correct. So in other words, we don't save that money up until it's needed for a particular cause.
Well, actually, Councilor, Mayor, if I may, all the revenues that go in the general fund are split up between all the general fund users and also other funds like the street fund, which is subsidized from the general fund. So some of that money is going into the street fund to balance its fund use.
Should not maybe all that money, because it's for, if they have to tear up a road or something, is that's correct, right?
They have
They're
to do
responsible for the repairs.
They're responsible for the repairs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's any work they do in the system, they have to return it back to as good or better than the condition than it was.
Okay.
The only issue that they had was in the indemnification clause in the end of the agreement. They wanted a position that put them in a less liable position than what we had indicated in our language, and so we do have our language is the final language in the document.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Any comments from those in support of this franchise link franchise agreement? Any comments opposed to it? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. Thank you very much. Consent agenda. Council minutes from February 6th, the regular meeting from February 13th. Special meeting, and from February 21st, special meeting. Looking for a motion to approve.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes as presented.
Have a motion to approve. Looking for a second.
I'll second.
Have a motion to approve in 2 seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The Council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to speak to the Council? Please.
Thank you. Evening, everybody. Terry Fink, 1100 Abraham Avenue. I just have a couple things. At the City Council meeting back on February 13th, Travis Schneider had referenced during one of his addresses or responses. Sorry, I'm just really nervous.
Slow down, it's all fine.
3 minutes, I'm working. Travis had mentioned an amended site plan during his response. And I'm wondering if we did indeed receive a copy of that. The last site plan I have is dated September of 22. So I had emailed the city and haven't gotten a response yet. I know things are busy and that's okay. But I'm just wondering if we can work on that and if I could get a copy of it if there is one. Also, a second, I wanted to since I don't know specifically how the process works, I was wondering if we, the interested parties, receive copies of any permits or checklists of, I guess, copies. We wouldn't receive the permits. Copies of how, when each of the conditions are met or satisfied, the 32, how that works. I still have time.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Sorry.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, your lawn will be different than hers.
So, yeah. So I wasn't sure how that process works, and if I need to set up a meeting with somebody, I'm happy to do so. And then I just also wanted to just follow up on something I had said at an earlier meeting, that I did email ODOT about the stop bar, the position of the stop bar at Abraham at 42. I have not gotten a response from them yet either, but it's maybe, I figure 4 weeks, maybe I should send another one. So that's...
Mr. Mayor, if I can just, and I appreciate that. We did receive an email from Mrs. Fink, and we have followed up in person during a council meeting.
It's Terry, it's not Mrs.
Terry. Regarding an amended, and the only amended portion of the site plan would be the fact that there were 13 cabins proposed. Six of them were labeled as tiny homes, which was a misnomer. So he was going to correct just that element. Everything else on the site plan that's out there is the same. So we have not gotten an updated version of that with the change in that writing, but we can ask again from Travis. And then in regards to the permits and all of those things, those are ministerial, so they're handled at the staff level, but they're public record. So you can request any element of anything, and we're happy to provide copies.
Okay, and just fill out the form. Can I get it by email and then just be able to send it?
Of course. Electronic, it's quicker, and we're happy to provide any of those things electronically.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Anybody else like to speak? Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Cheryl. Hi, Council. I'm Cheryl Starr. I live at 13936 Looking Glass Road. This has been ongoing. So our mailbox, we're not getting mail anymore, okay? I have gone around and checked everybody's mailboxes today. They're all out of sync. They're supposed to be 42 inches. So our mail lady is telling us to lower it down to our lower bar down here, or we need to lower the whole bar that the city put in for us to get our mail back. And then she says, well, it's because of all the coming up over, I can't remember the street, but coming up over the hill, we had at one point, and I spoke to, I'm not sure if you came out, yes, and we resolved some of the water there.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know, I was a big thing of saying, hey, if we drill here, we can get the water in and get it off the looking glass. Well, now, for the last few weeks, I've been jumping on my curb when I was getting mail and hugging it because of all the cars coming up over. And then I actually had a side swipe of a rearview mirror. I've called the police. They don't want to do anything about it. The speed is getting ridiculous. We're woken up throughout the whole night with chases. I think that, you know, in California, to resolve this, they got those humpy humps. Not the bumps, but just the humps. I think we need some on the other side of that little mountain, so that there's all of us, we cannot get out of our driveway. It's very detrimental. I have a letter from Lori Jarvis here, and then Tammy Jensen was also going to be here. The speeding over there is just getting really, really bad. And pulling out of our driveway, I get flipped off. I've had a man show me his jerk off, and I go, good job, buddy. He turned around, and he came back and he apologized. I told him, I respect you for that. I said, I'm an old lady.
Well, were you disappointed or what?
Well, I just said, good job. You know, I wanted to thank him for this. But my husband, when he was alive, he, you know, he's had two double lung transplants. In fact, Winston is on a commercial out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But anyway, so he would walk down there and, he, you know, he would take a little more time getting across the street. And so, and get to the mailbox, and people would just zoom past him. I mean, he's disabled. And I'm not getting my medicine in the mail. It's supposed to be there in the mail. We just keep on saying, well, the lady said, I asked her, I went out and I said, hey, you know, I leave sometimes. Can you just push my mail? Ma'am, I walked up your driveway, and you see my car? It's in the street there. And, you know, this is a dangerous road here, and we're not going to deliver your mail starting on the 27th. Well, guess what? Started on the 21st. And so we're not getting our mail now. I'm not getting on my medicine. And thank God, like I told him, I says, I would have had a lawyer if my husband was alive. Bless his heart. He passed away a year ago. And I'm a woman. I don't know how to lower that damn thing. I'm sorry. But I can't lower it.
Oh, you're comfortable.
Yeah, it's okay.
So anyway, the mail has stopped. We haven't gotten it, and they keep on arguing with us. We've turned it into the postmaster. She's the one that told me that on my porch, and I go, okay. And then she has also told, oh, they delivered my packages over to another neighbor's house. So this is just kind of getting a little bit ridiculous because I went and measured all of them, I can tell you. And I have signed receipts with the same mailbox I have from Sharon and Doug Tilson. They live on Galaxy. Their mailbox at the curb up is 42, at the road 48. And then here's another one from Cindy Tyler that lives on Carey Street, that her mailbox, that's exactly like mine. Hers is 38 at the curb, 44 at the street.
Okay, I get where you're going here.
Okay, and mine is 42.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you spoken with the postmaster here specifically about the height?
She's the one that gave us this.
So you're complying with her documents?
42.
Or she's changed them?
It says bottom of the mailbox needs to be 42 inches high. Well, if you go down Looking Glass, mine is 42 from the curb and 48 from the road, and everybody else's is 44 and above. So we're all not the same. Yeah. She said they all have to be, and the only reason why is because they bought a car that the post office is not getting their postal mail trucks like they're supposed to. So she has this low riding car.
These are our rural route drivers. They use their own vehicles. Excuse me just a moment. I'm not gonna taking your time. Andy, do you guys install those post office?
No.
That's a contract thing from the post office, correct?
Yeah.
It's either through a contractor if they do a gang box style and or the individual.
And she said she did not, that the post office didn't, these are the U-shaped ones. I do have pictures of them. And she says, no, the post office didn't do that. So if you put a complaint, like Mrs. Lori Sinclair did, into the postmaster, it's the postmaster that wrote us the ticket, and it's the postmaster that's being the rudest.
I don't know what you're talking about, not getting your mail, because I live over here on Brantley. I do not get the mail part of the time. The neighbor up the street on Newton Drive gets my mail, and we go back and forth.
I don't
know what to do.
Yeah, and then she told us that I said, well, if you want to get out of the street, you should turn in my driveway. Oh, we cannot turn left turns. I know.
Okay.
Because they have to turn left, give them out of post office.
I get Mr. Bauer.
Yeah,
please.
Just quickly. So the issue is that the note that you got from the postmaster says that your mailbox is too high.
Yes, and everybody else's is too.
Okay, can I get that? I want to get a copy of it. I will go talk to them about that.
And so also mine is on the top of the mountain. So when you come over the mountain, first is Tammy's mailbox. So when you come up and she stops there, they can see her rear end. When they get to ours, mailbox. Ours is in a very, very, very extremely dangerous, you saw. And like you said, the road was done wrong.
It
is totally done wrong because the water now goes down and across Looking Glass because it can't go uphill to go up Apollo.
Okay, thank you.
Oh,
Mr. Bauer, is this within the city limits?
Yes, it is. And it's if you go up on Looking Glass above Carey Street, where you kind of come around the corner and there's a hill that comes up before you drop down.
Right. Okay.
The geometry of that road system does not translate to driveways off of it, like they were installed. That's a county road. It's been like that forever, but it doesn't provide adequate sight distance for the citizens to get out of their driveways in that area. And unfortunately, it will cost us $1 million to knock that hill down to the proper site distances, and it would mess up a lot of other driveways. So
well, that used to be gravel too, as I recall.
We got given a road that really was substandard for what it was, you know, intended to be for. And I apologize to you at the time. You know, that's just it's bad. I agree.
It's bad. I can't pull out no matter what time in the morning. I go to the hospital about 5:30 in the morning. I cannot pull out without having somebody coming over that like a bat out of heck and almost hitting me. I can't tell you how much it is horrible. The sign was taken out by that says blind driveways. That was taken out by another car. We've had a car that has come up over the driveway. I've thrown my wheelbarrow in the middle of the road because I was taking it over to my girlfriend's to dump it into her little dump site, and I've had to leave it there and run across the road. And then I've had some people go over to the other side, bank up on the sidewalk, hit my rocks, and bank down and go out. We've had kids go into Lori Sinclair's, going so fast, going down and flipped, and I have pictures of those, flipped upside down in her yard. We've had them coming up and over, banking off, and then going down by Cary Street and taking out all those mailboxes. Okay.
We're getting the picture.
You got it?
Thank you.
Come to my house, understood. Please.
Oh, is that an invite you have? Like,
yes.
Tea and crumpets, or what are we going to do?
I have lots of everything.
Okay.
Come on over and just sit in my driveway.
I understand the problem. The resolution of it may not lie in this chamber. I don't know.
But the resolution, we can get those hump-to-humps where at the top, when they're coming up over the top, that's where that would make them stop coming down.
Okay.
And then coming up over, coming this way, we need the hump-to-humps also so that it would at least slow them down. I could get across the street. Anybody could get across the street. The postmaster would not be in jeopardy. And maybe she would put my mail in my mailbox, and mine's only 44 inches up there.
The road humps that you're speaking of, they have problems associated with them too, but it's certainly something that we can look at and see what type of, because you got two issues, right? You got the mailbox issue and then speed's your other issue.
Well, she said it was my mailbox, and so she thought, okay, we'll take the measurements and do it. But the one thing she did fail to do is measure everybody else's.
No,
I didn't fail to do that. And then she said, oh, it's the speed because it puts them in danger and they cannot turn left.
Yeah.
Well, we can't do anything with the post office.
Yes.
Right.
Well,
we can't. They have their own rules and they're run by, you know, their program. I can talk to her about the inconsistency with what the measurements say they're supposed to be and what they are.
They're all inconsistent.
And, but as far as what everybody else's are, we can't really go to that. But if you stay with yours and yours are within the range they're supposed to be, then I want to know why they can't deliver it.
It's because their cars are down to the ground. They're low rider cars.
Yeah.
And they can't get up. And she has a stick that she sticks up there and pulls. And then has a stick that sticks, you know, like you put on your socks with.
Mm-hmm.
And you, yeah.
I do appreciate your situation. I really do.
I just would invite any of you guys to spend a day waving at the people going up and down. You can sit on my bench there and just wave at them and see how fast they do go.
I can appreciate what you're saying.
If is I can wine make a suggestion.
I want one of those bumps that I can hit a button.
If
and
I can make a suggestion. First of all, the post office been getting, at least reminding them, that with a plethora of complaints, and it's almost open rebellion now among the mail, the contract mail carriers. I mean, open rebellion.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So next point is if you don't get any satisfaction, from the postmaster, dial the 800 number and leave a message with that, and they'll go to the higher echelon of the postmaster and who she answers to.
Okay.
And then that places her answering that.
Okay.
Okay.
I sure will.
That's one of
the
things.
We've done it online, and now it's a call. I'm going to contact a lawyer about all this too, because she is picking on two single women, and it is not fun.
But I would suggest doing it before you spend money on a lawyer.
Yeah,
is to
Mercy has free lawyer things.
I will also make the measurements, and I will go talk to her.
Okay.
And see.
And they want it from the street, not the curb, but I put street and curb.
Okay.
And then I measured it from exactly the same mailboxes of mine, because these people that I went to their houses today, and I said, this is the oddest thing you'll ever see or hear for the day and maybe tomorrow, is about your mailbox, and did you get mail? Are you getting mail? And their boxes are exactly like mine and exactly like these others. And I have these letters that say they're getting their mail, and we're not.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and your passion.
Thomas.
Anybody else like to speak to council? It's open game night.
I'll work on that again tonight.
Thank you. Okay, if there's nobody else, reports, boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Councilor White, you want to tell us about the library?
Well, the library's really been busy. I'll have to tell you, we lost our precious treasure that we had for so long, Lesser Art. And we also lost our manager at the library. So we have an internal library manager that's helping us, and we're also going to, or they are, I'm not voting.
You're reporting the news.
I'm just saying I'm there, but anyway, they're going to put a new budget out, and they're going to also look into finding somebody to take their place. We have an alternate that's taking the place managing the library right now. She's very good, but she also is a student, and she will be leaving us. And so we have to get on the ball before September. We hope by August we can find somebody else that will take on the job. And outside of that, we've got our money for it.
That's okay. Say we.
Anyway, they have money for the books for the kids, and they have the summer program already started, which is going to be great. And outside of that, we're coming up, and they are finding some more grants so they can have more new books. So I wanted everybody to know they are working very hard and very proud.
Thank you. Any questions for Councilor Wilder?
Did Rebecca get a full-time job somewhere?
I don't know.
Okay. She was really good.
Yeah, she was good. Anything else for Councilor White? Perfect. Planning Commission appointment. Cynthia Eastburn wants to be on the Planning Commission. Any comments, questions, or motions to approve?
What did she write in her application?
She wants to be on the Planning Commission.
That was it?
Mr. Mayor, she is here this evening.
Oh.
Cynthia is.
So, well, oh, you're the guilty part. Do you want to stand up and answer any questions that Councilor White may have for you about why you really want to do that? I might appreciate that. That's a tough place to go.
Cynthia Eastburn, Teal Street, Winston. You wanted to know what?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Well, I have been here for a couple of years now, and being retired, I now have time to become more involved in the community, as I didn't have the time before. And having been through some of the Planning Commission items, agendas that we've been through this last, since September, has been an education. So I simply want to become involved, to be helpful, and of service to the community.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you, by chance, have any experience in land management or anything like that, or working with the public?
Working with the public. I retired from social services down in Northern California on a one-on-one basis. So, yes, I have that experience. Land management, we had about a little over 2 acres and where we, sold and pretty well managed that. I know what you're saying, but yeah.
You know how to run a lawnmower.
I know how to run the lawnmower, the weed whacker. The neighbors are going, oh no, is she doing it again? I'm going to have to get out there and mow now.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Any questions for Cynthia from any of y'all? Okay, looking for a motion to approve her request for appointment.
I made a motion to be approved.
I have a motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the group.
Congratulations.
Can I ask you a question? Do we have any other vacancies now that we have another person?
Yes, I was just going to speak on another committee, about another committee real quick. The Public Safety Committee,
None of the members have put in letters to renew their positions, and they're all expired. So we're going to be sending letters.
Expired as in their term has ended?
Yeah, their terms have ended. Yes. We'll be sending them letters thanking them for their service, and we'll be looking for a whole new group of public safety committee members.
Okay,
good. And in answer to your question, Counselor, we now have six members with the ratification. Ms. Eastburn, Cynthia, I apologize, Terry, Cynthia, got it. Now we have six members. We have one vacancy. So we're going to be continuing to try to fill that vacancy to have a full panel.
When we're on that subject, Counselor, are you receiving email from the Ethics Commission from Michael?
I tried to call them. Nobody answered. But my application or I'm completely up to date.
You know, yeah, you're fine. It's Michael. They're trying to get it to. So I'll take care of that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they're just sending it to me for some reason. I've got leeches too, so.
Okay.
My email evidently is a city email.
Uncle Alan.
Just a brief word on the Traffic Safety Committee. I am the liaison on that. And they don't meet that often, but when they do meet, it's very, very important items that are brought up. And you'd be surprised of how much materializes out of that safety committee. And that we can affect changes within the city. Like going back some time, for instance, the crossing lights that you see with the flashing, going back several years, we just were able to get in the stop signs over by Thompson and Grape in that area there. And that is a very, very important platform for citizens to put in their concerns. And because it's carried then to the council for approval, and virtually all of it is approved. So if you have any time whatsoever, that is an important meeting. Two, it doesn't maybe meets once a quarter. And three, we really need people there because we also have representatives from DOT there, et cetera, et cetera, where problems can be addressed. So, it's behooving that anybody that might like to volunteer for that committee, please do so.
When did they meet?
We meet normally once a quarter, and we meet when there is an agenda. And so, that comes through the police department, and they schedule the meetings and everything.
I have an agenda because we're at our mailbox. It's totally dark from the top of the hill up there.
Really, you hadn't heard that.
I know. No, you didn't hear the darkness.
Yeah.
I have another 3 minutes. But it's dark from the top of the hill, and it's so dark, clear down into Cary Street, that you can't see. And I get off at work. I work 12-hour shifts, and when I used to go get my mail, I wear black scrubs. Yes, and this jacket, it's not a good thing. I need safety.
I'll buy you a jacket.
I know, right? Just to
Guy in the back's probably got a lot of bright yellow clothes you can put up in it.
I need a safety jacket just to go get my mail.
But seriously, that'd be something that you might consider.
And the police
because
of the church.
You have DOT there, you have other people there. They're probably going to answer questions or at least take it even up on the county level. Okay.
No. Thank you very much. Anything else? Okay, wastewater. Chris Sherlock, plant report, superintendent reports submitted in the packet. Brandon Sardi, Chief Sardi, is not here. Public Works, Andy Howell. What do you got for us tonight, Andy?
You know, I don't have anything outside of the normal weekly.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. How was your camping trip?
It was awesome.
Good. Community Development Director, Mr. McIntosh, what do you got for us this evening?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. Most of the report I have also went out Friday. It's in there. There is one thing we'd like to highlight. There was a transportation system plan meeting that we had. Of course, all of that's winding down. We're right on the cusp of meeting an adoption package, and we've been talking about this for a while. It's been almost 2 years. Their contract is up June 1st of this year. But one of the things that we did talk about that's a huge change is we don't have any language in anywhere in our ordinance, in our municipal code, in our subdivision, nowhere for a transportation impact analysis. And it's development triggered. So we've got really good additions in there for just that element. And not only that, but there are parameters on what triggers it. So if you're adding 300 additional daily trips, if you're adding, there's a bunch of key points there. So there was an implementation document that went out Friday with your report. And I apologize, again, it's some 37 pages. But the things we get from the transportation engineers are never... they're never brief. I'm surprised when I see a couple of pages down. Right? So, but the takeaway from that meeting was essentially two points. Number one, the additional language that really helps give the city teeth. The other thing is what we've been talking about in terms of the turnout from Looking Glass on to 42. Fosters a lot of concern with a lot of folks. And ODOT on that Zoom call made it very clear that it will require an independent engineering study for us to factor into our TSP a specific design efforts or a project. There is another grant opportunity coming up. As you know, we've been inundating you with different grant opportunities, different grant items, but there may be a planning assistance grant that might help lend some engineering data to that situation. If you pull out of there, anybody knows how cumbersome it is getting out of 42 there. So just wanted to share those two items that were all in the report with the additional implementation document. If you get a chance, just go through that. Have any questions, happy to answer those.
Thank you, Thomas. Any more questions for Thomas?
Yeah, Thomas, did you say Looking Glass in 42 or Looking Glass in 99?
99, okay. Yeah. Apologize. Yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't.
No. It's a strange connection.
It is. 42 and 99.
Yeah.
The same,
right? Yeah.
That's true.
Mr. Bauer.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience, I have one additional subject to go over with you tonight. As you know, Wake Up operates the teen center up at the community center. We have an agreement with them for them to do that. In that agreement is that if they want to make any changes within that room, that has to be approved by you. So the first thing I want to talk about is they would like to install a 3-compartment sink. And this is the county health department has instructed the teen center that they cannot rinse produce in the same sink compartment as you wash your hands. So a multi-base sink would satisfy that requirement because we are unable to provide the level of food preparation that we and the children were accustomed to. We currently only provide prepackaged single-use items that can be reheated in a microwave. Being able to wash produce would expand the food items available, offering healthy, less expensive alternatives. So they're talking about making sandwiches, washing fruit and vegetables in that sink, lettuce, that type of stuff, in order to provide these other food items. So they can't cook in there outside of the use of a microwave. They don't have the facilities to do that. But they are asking to be able to install this 3-bay sink. And I would ask our public works director to provide any additional comments to this issue. Because I know
Before Andy goes down that road, I'd like to throw a few things out. Go ahead, Counselor.
Well, I'm just wondering, are they going to, we are going to pay for the sink, or are they going to pay for seeing as how they're acting something special?
And who's installing it?
Yeah. So originally they had written in here to amend their agreement that the city shall provide the 3-bay sink. But I pointed out to them that our agreement says that any changes are specifically tenant improvements, and they'd be responsible for purchasing the sink and having it installed.
Excuse me. Andy, go ahead. If you got something to add to this, then I'll...
Yeah, if I have any questions, I think most of you are up to speed on some of the issues and things that we've dealt with up there on the staff perspective. Understanding the fact that, yeah, they do get quite a few kids up there and whatnot, but like I like I said, I think most of you are aware of that. So I'd be happy to get any questions or anything about it.
Okay, in the first place, a three-bay sink isn't going to do it, because that's either a three-bay sink for washing vegetables has to have an air gap in that sink. I've got a little bit of experience with this. The three-bay sink is one for wash, one for rinse, one for sanitize, then you air dry it. You've got to have another special sink for hand washing. I guarantee you that once that three-bay sink is installed, they're going to be washing something that comes out of that microwave, which is going to have grease-laden water on it, so you're going to have to put a grease trap in there as well. If you don't require that, it won't get done, and then you're going to have all kinds of problems with the plumbing up there.
And then on the back side of that also, too, if they're going to be making sandwiches and everything like that, isn't there not any codes that for a proper refrigeration?
Well, there's that. There's also, I can, you know, if you're going to have any kind of grease-laden vapors, like from a hot plate or anything like that, then you're going to have to put a hood in with proper fire suppression and ventilation. And I'm actually knocked out about poking a hole in that brand new roof up there.
So they're not asking to install any other equipment in there, and the and they know fire marshal has gone over the program with them. They can't cook in there in that style, and whether or not the building could even be permitted would be a big question. So I think the cost and everything associated with that takes that out of their realm for right now. So, and I don't know if this is an additional sink to add to the one they already have there, or if it's to replace the one that they have there. So,
what would that be? Andy would know that.
Yeah, it'd be an addition. They just have a two compartment sink currently.
But they wouldn't have to do any, have that two.
Yeah, it did have to be, but to Mayor's summed that up pretty quite nicely. You're looking at plumbing, dealing with the plumbing, the grease, the things like that, because it's just the design of it and how much activity and what is actually going into it. So these are all things you have to look at.
Well, what if they put the third sink separated from the other two sinks?
Okay, so there's one two-bay sink right now in there, and what they'd be then installing is a separate sink with three bays in it. That's what it sounds like.
Five sinks?
Well,
so they'd have two sinks, but five different bays in them.
All right.
And I'm concerned about the size of the plumbing. What's the drain like there?
Well, that's another good point, and the fact that they're pretty limited on the counter space up there. I don't know if you guys have probably been into the teen center, but it's, you know, they have a lot going on with preparing food for the teens or the kids are up there. So that counter itself, the work area is going to be pretty tight, and you're just going to take a lot more work area away from yourself for preparing sandwiches or soup, whatever they're doing, salads.
Can't you have the three sinks in the same place as the two sink, and then have a wash station like some places have, which is a smaller sink for washing your hands, which wouldn't take up? Why do you have to have three and two in it?
Because the two already exist. How much money do you want to spend on changing this whole, remodeling this kitchen?
The only thing you're going to change is the piping coming out.
No, you'd have to have a grease trap. The whole thing changes, Dory. It's not simple as you want to believe.
Well, if they aren't cooking, they're just doing
microwave.
Well, if it's a microwave, how are...
If they're washing dishes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Anything else you'd like to offer?
Well, so I need an action from council to either approve or deny.
I'm just wondering if we need some more information. Like maybe a schematic of showing where they plan to put it.
I'm going to go down the road because I want to see it.
All right. And, you know, I think we need some more information on that.
I think we table this.
I will get that and bring it back to you. I'll have some pictures of what's there and then kind of what their plans are for doing that.
And then also, too, a specific comment, written comment that they'd be responsible for any and all costs.
Yeah, that's in their contract, and I've already sent them that in their email. So
right, but I'm going to make sure that they acknowledge that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm interested in why they, I know these are kids, and they're having fun in there, why are they deciding that they need to feed all of them? They have free lunches and free breakfast in school.
I can't answer those questions. That's
you
something that's
her.
Operational.
I think she'll explain it to you. You need to ask the head of the teen center.
They do have a contract with the school, and they may or may not be utilizing it, but they get so much per child if they add some type of meal of some kind. Yeah, that was something that was shared through one of our meetings with the teen center.
Their director has also indicated that for some of the kids that attend that, that's the only food they get during the day. So whether they attend school or not, they still come to the teen center. So that's what she shared that with me.
Why aren't they eating at home?
Because there may not be enough food there.
There could be. Yeah.
And one other, Mark, was on the request for the computer lab. It's
coming.
Okay.
I haven't finished that yet.
The other thing on that, too, is that if you've ever eaten a school lunch.
I did. Mrs. Malone at Fern Grove School was the best lunches ever.
And a lot of times these teenagers don't get enough.
Okay? I see what their lunches are.
Unless you want the Phoenix.
Like
Phoenix
to
is good.
Okay.
Okay, moving right along. Mr. Bauer, please.
So the second part of this is they've also asked to acquire the lease to lease what was the old computer lab, which is not being currently used. It's approximately 375 square feet. It's not attached to the teen center, which means the teens would have to go out into the hallway to access this. Also, they've offered $265 a month for the space, to use the space. I also want you to know that the library has also shown interest in acquiring that space in the past. You might have too, and it is directly attached to the library and would be, I'm sure of considerable use to them for a number of different things.
Yes, and they are thinking of that too. I think personally that it would be a good idea for the head of the library and also the head of the teen center to get together and say, okay, what do we expect? We each have to use this. We don't want to be disturbed. If the people have to come in and out all the time, they have to do it quietly. And they did have a lot of trouble with the library at first. But now they've got an agreement of some kind. I didn't go into it, and they didn't explain everything. But the teens that are coming in there are being very respectful, very quiet, and they have no problem with them. At first, they were. I think they told you, Andy, about they were having trouble. But they also had trouble with a man that came in there, too, that they had to call the police. And I said, why didn't you call the police? If they don't mind or something, get them out of there.
Question.
But they both have...
Are they going to be providing supervision while they're in the computer lab?
I couldn't answer that question.
Specific to that part of the building?
I can't answer that question.
I think it's some learning thing, Scott. So if it's instruction, they would have to have a teacher there.
What? What they've indicated is that they use it, they'd be using it for like kids that want to work on homework, away from the other activities that are going on in the teen center.
Well, don't they have that study rooms at the library?
They do, but this is what they're asking for. Is that
they don't have room to hook up all that stuff. That's why they have it in that one room.
And the library is starting to be at capacity also. Is that not true?
That I can't answer the question to. I know it's quite busy, but I know that they need more space.
They're running out of room for space,
yeah.
Especially for books and everything that's coming in, and work areas for the librarians.
They aren't running that much out of space for books. What they would like to do is the same thing that the teen center is that they'd like the computers, which they've got, in there so that they can work. The kids can work on it in there too, rather than those four that are out in the floor.
Well, then if that's the case, then we'll want to be better suited for the library because they'd have more direct control on it.
I believe that's what I would vote for. But let's get back to that. Let's talk about the finances of this.
Okay, so I wanted to get back to that. Currently, the Teen Center pays $250 a month for 1,150 square feet in the Teen Center. Originally, that lease went for, I believe it was around $1,500 a month. They lost some of their funding. We dropped it to $1,000, and then their contract ran out, their federal contract ran out, and they came in and the council dropped it to $250. On top of that, they also lease a 10-by-10 room, which is right next to the director's office, for storage, which is... we've notified them about getting that cleaned up because you can't access the vents in there, the lights.
What are they paying for that room?
$65 a month. So right now we're collecting $315 a month. And that's 100 for 100 square feet. So this would be $265 for $375, a total of $580 for the space. Right now, back in
285. $185 for the space, which is 1,550 feet.
For 1,625 square feet. So now if we go back, in 2017, I did an analysis on the costs of all the spaces that are in the community center. At that time, the Teen Center was generating about $7,000 a year in direct expense. They're paying $3,000 towards that. If we move forward to 2023, that looks more like around $10,000 a year, and they're still paying $3,000 a year
for
the space. So yeah, we're about $7,000 upside down with that.
What about the other contracts up there, Mark?
The only two other ones that are of any... is the library. That's the largest subsidy that we have up there, and we all know the reason for that. The senior center would be next. They don't pay what the expenses are that relate to that space either.
The other thing, Scott, that I know you're looking at the money part of it, the other part that I look at is, as a city, and we are small, we need to support the teens, we need to support the library to some extent, and the seniors. So why can't we give them a break? If you want to go into renting something, buy this big spot over here that's for sale, and then rent that.
Frankly, I don't want any property. Maybe you do.
I don't want property.
Well, but that's the problem. Anytime we do that, we take property off the tax rolls.
I still think the city needs to... help with citizens. Okay. By just helping citizens the seniors, what by they helping the
they
teenagers.
Have schools.
Well, I've said my piece. I'm not
going to
say anymore. And, I don't
want
to argue.
And typically, cities do subsidize, to some degree, those three elements. That's a council policy decision on what you want to establish is what that subsidy is.
When I grew up, that's what the city did. They paid for the teen center that I went to. They paid for the library. And I don't know about the seniors because at that point I was a teenager. So I don't know about what they do with seniors, but most cities do.
Well, first of all, it is the Winston Public Library. It is a function of the city of Winston. I'm just going down the line.
Okay.
All right. So therefore, that is within, that is non-negotiable because it belongs to the city of Winston. Two, the senior center, they're paying what? Very little, like $100 a month.
$100 a month.
$100 a month. Yeah. And that's a pretty large group that they have down there. I agree with Councilor White that we have a responsibility to provide services as much as we can. But at the same time, we only can be upside down so much, and because of lost revenue, As for the teen center, yes, I agree. The teen center is a very good thing. But if I remember correctly, and I could be mistaken,
yes,
that they got more finances back in line. Is that not correct? That they got some more finances or a trust or something that came up that
I thought they were looking for. I don't know they got it.
The trust that you speak about is specific in its language for what it can be used for, and if I understand correctly, it can only be used for capital park projects.
That was a wake-up trust, not the teen center.
I'm talking the teen center.
Yeah, this is wake-up.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the teen center. Yeah,
but wake-up runs the teen center, so as far as additional financing beyond that, I don't know. I've never seen their financials.
I agree with Councillor White that we should be as lenient as possible, but at the same time it has to be practical.
So I might recommend that, you know, these discussions generally take place during the budget process. When you're looking at the budget process, that might be a better time to evaluate whether or not you can continue on the same program that you have now, or whether you need to ask for any more dollars from the tenants up there, based on the condition of the budget. So,
that's a good point.
We also might want to ask them what their financials were too, so we know whether they're taking advantage of the city.
Yeah, we can ask them for a copy of their financials for sure. Right now, to kind of tie this thing up, right now, I'm not interested in adding additional space to their current lease without, you know, some review of their financials or something. You'd rather look at it during the budget process?
It's better time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
So we're going to revisit then the sink issue.
I'll get
our
back
next
to you.
Meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Bauer, anything else you have for us?
That's all I have for you.
So old business, new business, new business licenses. Better than share. Is that Michelle or Michael? Total Brace. Anyway, Better Than Share is the name of that company. DTSS Landscape Maintenance Plus. Doyle Tankersley and Savak Safari Village Real Estate LLC. Emily McCurry.
Oh, Your Honor.
Please.
We did have an additional one as well. It was a last minute one. Riddle Towing.
That's why he's here. I didn't know if the car was being repossessed or what.
What is Better Than Share? What kind of company is that?
Yes. Mr. Mayor, members of council. So that business license is directly connected to a home office operation where she does a computer base helping seniors with jobs and with care and different things like that, just on her computer. So we processed a limited home occupation for that and the business license.
It's computer based,
then she's okay. Yep. Nothing in the home. This is on Charway. Located on the western side of the city.
Perfect. So you're wanting to operate in Winston then? Do you have,
yes.
Do you pick up the slack from Winston Towing not doing so much?
Yeah, I talked to them and they said that they're not really up to doing towing no more. Same with Kapua, he left the area. And Winston PD needs their own tow guy to provide for them.
Uh-huh.
And I said I'd fill the gap.
Perfect. How many trucks do you have?
Too many.
Too many trucks, not enough drivers?
No, I got plenty of drivers too. Oh. There's just not a lot of work in my area where I'm at in Riddle right now.
Okay.
So I was talking to where the Kakua building was. That guy's supposed to call me back over there. The lady owns that and meet with me, but haven't called me yet to go over there. So.
Very good. Good luck. Thank you. Any questions on the business licenses?
This Emily McCurry is going to be Safari Village Real Estate,
uh-huh.
But it's 311 Southwest Main.
Yeah, that's the old Golden Rule Shopping Center.
Oh, okay.
It's the one closest to the post office, kind of back in the corner.
Okay. Just as a general note, Bev Heyer has indicated she's retiring.
Oh,
this is her real estate business.
Well, that's what I thought.
That Emily's taking over, yes.
Yeah, okay. She's taking over for Bev Heyer.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Any more questions? Motion, please, for to approve the business licenses as presented. Kind of motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Looking forward to hopefully not having to do business with you.
You seem to have a vehicle, a tow truck here in Winston, then?
I'm trying to get the facility set up here. I have semis. I have flatbeds, tractors, everything.
Sort of like highway through hell.
Pretty much. I go up on the pads and tell people like that, just messing around with my 4x4 truck.
You know what you might do? You might go park next to her house, because yeah, it seems to be a lot of
business. I get lots of business here.
Definitely a service we
need.
Yeah,
I'll be glad to get the lights on.
Absolutely it is. Okay, thank you very much. We're working on B now. Set council workshop dates if necessitated.
We don't have one.
Perfect.
Directly at this time.
Well, that's unusual.
Yeah, we're going to add, for the last couple of months, we're going to add Public Works Director Roy Anthony Howell as a signer on all city bank accounts. The reason we're doing this is that we tried to, with just three of us available and two of us being gone occasionally, we wanted to have somebody else available to sign with checks when Ann needs help. And we didn't want anybody in the building to be associated with it. So we spun the bottle and pointed at Andy.
So don't we have to be careful, though, in case we have any unusual, like new trucks? And
well, that's the thing I was concerned about. He is going to get that snowplow he's been wanting for a while, isn't he? Yeah, that's what I think.
Your Honor, if I
may. That's why you need two check signatures. Yes, sir.
Council approved this at an earlier council meeting, but the language that was on the recorder indicated general fund. So when the bank looked at it, at the minutes, they needed a clearly defined, it covers all accounts.
Okay, so we need a motion then to approve?
Yes.
Looking for a motion, please.
I make a motion. I said.
Okay, I got two motions and 2 seconds. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Congratulations, Andy. You get that new snowplow.
It's somebody
else's sign. Yes.
They get their driver's button.
That's right. Okay, we're on the D now. Wastewater and Park Systems Development Charge Methodology. Mr. McIntosh, you want to explain this to us so we know what we're looking at exactly?
Certainly. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience, of course you know from previous workshops that we've been referencing throughout the meeting, some of those have been on our system development charges throughout the city. For the benefit of the crowd, whenever you're building something new, a new house, a new commercial structure, something of that nature, we collect an upfront one-time fee because of the additional stress and pressure you'll be placing on the system. So system development charges, what we've looked at more intricately is our parks and our wastewater, which sit at a certain amount, incremental amount for each of them. What we have looked at in the past week or 10 days is as we're moving towards adopting the engineering studies that were done for both of those areas, and looking a little more hard, council looking a little more detailed at what those rates are going to be pushed to, there's been recommendations by each of our engineering groups for parks and wastewater. And we would like to try to maybe facilitate a discussion today on some of those rates due to the fact that we've had the workshops and we've had a large level of discussion. What I would like to share with the council is a little bit what the process is going to look like. We will now have to put out a notice for a public hearing for the resolution to change the rate. That has to be a 90-day notice to the public. We also have to make the methodologies or the engineering studies, their figures, available to the public 60 days prior to that hearing. We have accomplished the second one. We put the methodologies online today.
They're available to the public. When we had these workshops, of course, they were put out there. They were made available. But what we are essentially hoping to accomplish is answering any questions on the process, but also revisiting, kind of the council's thinking on the rates and what direction we're going in.
Okay, to clarify, just so everybody's on the same page, these are fees that are charged only on new construction.
Correct.
And the parks fees are only charged on new construction of homes or residences.
Residential, yes.
But the commercial construction can be charged the sewer SDCs, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. So you want us to establish a rate then?
So if you'll recall, when we were talking with the parks, they were indicating that a SDC in the area of $1,000 to $1,200 would be representative of to what our neighbors are charging. So at this point, staff's recommending that we go with $1,000 SDC for parks. And then the wastewater one, you'll recall, said that we could charge as much as $20,000 towards that. Staff recommending $5,500 at this time with an annual inflator based on the cost of living.
Mr. Mayor, the spread for the parks is between, the lowest is $1,100, the highest $1,300. So we were recommending.
That's what the competition is, essentially.
Yeah, right.
So we're recommending $1,000.
Just for the audience, the existing, what we're charging is how much?
It is $150.
So you wonder what the state of our parks would be had this been a higher STC over the last 10, 15 years. We'd have been a little bit better shape than we are now. So are you looking for a motion then?
No, just guidance, because we have to wait out the 90 days, but at the same time we'll be putting the resolution together, and if the council is okay with $1,000 for parks and $5,500 for wastewater, we'll base it, the resolution, as a starting talking points on those amounts.
Yeah. And those rates have not been raised since John Paul Jones was a seaman.
The last one was 89?
Yeah.
1989.
It was shortly after the sewer plant was moved, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know it was back in the 80s when.
And so you take that with the rate of inflation, the cost between 89 and 2023, it's needed.
I think it's a bargain.
It is.
So we're just going to encourage you to move forward with that line of thinking.
Yeah, those are the numbers we're offering. We're recommending.
I think it's reasonable. I mean, if you look at the other SDC fees for the other cities, I mean, it seems to be right on par, like a mid range. It's not too high. It's not, well, it's, ours is too low now.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you?
Well, I know Civil West during our workshop had proposed $6,000, and I thought that was just a touch too high comparison to other cities. Mm-hmm. So I'd be more in line with the $5,500.
Okay. Well, let's move forward along those lines then.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, resolution 23-1075, the DOT Safe Routes to School Intergovernmental Agreement, by title only. Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 23-1075. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council accepting the Safe Routes to School grant proposal and authorizing the city manager to enter into a 5-year grant agreement, number SRTS23-21, with the Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT, for the construction and completion of the Safe Routes to School project.
Thank you very much. Staff report, please. Mr. McIntosh.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So just a little background on this for the benefit of the audience. The city applied with the Oregon Department of Transportation for what's called a Safe Routes to School grant. And essentially, it affects infrastructure that leads into the school, affects the school system. This particular grant kind of targets McGovern over off Cary going into Tumblin, Elwood. And it is a significant grant amount, just under $2 million, with a 20% match. So we were very excited. It's a competitive grant, and we were approved. Of course, there's a very long, rigorous review process that ODOT does, but we were approved for it. This resolution essentially executes the ability for the city manager to sign the agreement, moving that forward. That has all the context in there. Just by way of information, because that 20% is an important amount. It's $400,000. So on the 8th, Wednesday the 8th, we will be appearing before the school board to try to gain some assistance in that regard. But just to talk a little bit about the project, it encompasses sidewalks, new ADA ramps, rapid flashing beacons, three of those in three different locations. But more importantly, if anybody, and we've talked about this frequently, if anybody's had the opportunity to go down Tumblin, going into McGovern or Elwood, a street that is in terrible condition, needs a lot of improvements, and it's mainly used by the school district. It's mainly used by buses, kids dispersing after school. They go in every direction, and there will be significant improvements to that area. Infrastructure, streets, curbs, gutters, sidewalks, stormwater, the full meal deal in there. And then the project, because of the amount, it stretches all the way out to Cary, sidewalks going all the way up to the north, and it even affects some areas of Looking Glass. There is a conceptual plan that highlights those. Happy to send that out to anybody upon request. But essentially, hope you've had a chance to kind of look at this agreement. It really runs in concert with what you typically see with an ODOT agreement, and again, since we are handling the engineering portion of it, we are going to make a very avid effort to motivate the school district to assist us in this regard. That concludes my staff report. Happy to take any questions.
Any comments from the audience?
How does the neighborhood feel about it?
We are just starting the public education portion of this, so there will be things in the utility bill, there will be an open house, there will be lots of, and that's a requirement for the agreement. We have to have a public education part of it. We have to have a website presence, those types of things. So I would imagine that it would be very well received, being the improvements that will take place. That's an assumption.
If you're going to get a brand new street and sidewalks, wouldn't that make you happier?
Well, I've walked that street, and a lot of people park on the side of that street, and you're going to take up part of their yard.
The primary issue there is child safety.
I understand.
You know, as you're going in there during the morning, you've got kids, buses, and cars weaving in and out against each other, and it's an accident waiting to happen. And you know, we will work within our right-of-way, so we won't be taking anybody's additional property that I'm aware of. We'll just be working within our right-of-way. And some of those houses may be utilizing the city's right-of-way currently, and they'll have to move off of it. But other than that, we'll be using the property that is the city's property now.
Yeah, just to give credence to that, Tumblin and Elwood, where we'll be doing significant street projects, we have 50 feet on both of those. Plenty of area to facilitate a regular street schematic. Cary has 60 feet. So in concert with that, we will be working just only in our jurisdictional right-of-way area.
Perfect. Any more questions for Thomas?
And did you say on Cary Street also?
Mm-hmm.
That's right over the hill where they launch. Good girl. That's right over that hill. Yeah. And the safety of them in the morning, I would love for you to come and sit in my driveway. I'll serve coffee if I know how to make it. Okay? I have hot chocolate. You can see the ruckus that is from my driveway. Just sit there and look and enjoy. And all the parents.
Wonder and amazement.
I know, and they can launch right onto Cary, and that's where a lot of accidents happen. Boom.
Perfect. Well, thank you for that again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alan? So Thomas, you said you're going to meet with the school board when?
And that would be March 8th on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
At their board meeting.
I would hope that they would be inclined to participate also.
We have
monetarily.
We have the support of the school superintendent and the school board chair. We've communicated with both of those and tried to facilitate a conversation, and the support is there. So we're going there with hopes high.
Perfect. Okay, looking for a motion to approve Measure 23-1075.
I make a motion to approve Resolution Number 23-1075.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Pose same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Resolution number 23-1076, engineering agreement for the safe routes to school. Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 23-1076, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Civil West Engineering Services for the completion of design phase for the Safe Routes to School project for an amount not to exceed $166,375.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Mr. Howell, staff report, please.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, members of the audience. Thomas pretty well went over the project, of course, but, this is an exciting project moving forward now. This is the part we get to pay for, of course. The scope of service for the engineering, this is the design scope of this thing. We're looking at going from Pentel up Looking Glass, and the point of this, the safety thing, that's the part of that.
The launching?
Yeah, we have that's a nasty area there, and that's one of the areas that we're calling up on carry is that with flash and beacon.
You know exactly where
Oh, yeah.
The steep driveway.
Oh, yeah.
If you block my driveway, I'm going to have to go into the...
I had just mentioned the beacon just...
The other thing we're going to get for you up there is we're going to get a measure of the launch distance.
I want one of those things that takes those cars and... and launches them out.
The beacons, we're looking at two, possibly three. They're $12,000 a piece. Just,
what are beacons?
They're the flashing warning beacons.
The one right by mine.
So there's a couple areas on there that were very safety considered that we're looking at. We talked about these, and the city manager alluded to that earlier tonight, safety concerns with vehicles and things. So we're looking at the whole project, and it's, that's part of it. But anyway, as far as council, we attached the scope of services that someone's going to be doing. So they're numbered out, kind of the task. We've also attached the map. I know the council had an opportunity to look at that. The black marks indicate sidewalks. The round ones are the pads, the beacons, and then, of course, the work, the kind of overall picture of that thing. This thing may scale back. We all know that. We have a big pie in the sky thing, but you have to go out and start putting numbers to it. Guess what? We may roll back from Pintel. We may roll back from. But this is the kind of what we're looking at. So we also attached the 23 rate schedule from Civil West in here. Thought that was always kind of good to look at their what we're paying for on the Civil West staff. So that's attached in there for council review. Kind of helps put numbers to things when we get bills. The council sees these bills. That's attached.
Two questions at this point, please, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. Is this part, is this $166,000 part of our engineering, part of our $400,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part of it. So, of course, taking chunks of it off. And then we also wanted to attach the overall project. So we have that $2,434,066.20. That's the whole project. The city manager wanted council to see the whole project. That's what we have it on there for. So it shows the cost of what we're looking at. So
that's
kind of
breaks
down. That's whole Marianne. So one of the things that we really trying to work on is here's what we're looking at, and here's the numbers, here's the process. It's some work to get to that point. And when we talk about beacons or whatever it is, that number is associated with it. So we talk about a 15-inch storm pipe, the number associated with that. We talk about a sidewalk, a 500-foot sidewalk, the number associated with that. So that's that. We want the council to be able to look at that information.
So the total proposed engineering design phase is $166,375, which we recommend council approve that. We wouldn't have that on the financial impact. The base bid for construction is $2,212,787.50. That's the engineer's estimate for the whole base bid. We've added a 10% contingency for a total project cost of $2,434,066.25. So that's the whole enchilada. That's the whole grand scheme of things there. So that's the whole number. But this particular request is for $166,375. So.
Thank you. Did you throw Scene a shot at this?
No, this is outside of his
scope.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And Your Honor, if I may, I just want to throw some additional numbers at you. It's a 6.8% of the total project cost. Typically, engineering runs between 10 and 20%. So this is for the design phase. Once we get to the through the bidding phase, we'll be coming back with a construction management agreement for the oversight of the construction. But because we don't know 100% what that's going to cover right now, we didn't want to get numbers in here until we actually know what we're doing, and it, because that will reflect on the total cost.
I'm sorry, I didn't notice. Does this include the sewer lines in this area as well?
Actually, there's a sewer line in there in Tumble, yes. That is included in this one, on this scope. Yeah.
Good. Any comments from the audience? Except for you. Council action. Anybody from council have any questions for Andy?
Yes. Okay. So this, I forgot to ask this question earlier. This is a 5-year grant. I mean,
it takes 5 years to complete.
Is it going to be, not going to take 5 years to complete it?
Well, hopefully not, but. Yeah, it is. We do have 5 years to spend the money. If it took longer than that, we could get extensions, but we don't plan on going that long. But that's just what the grant allows us is 5 years, because we've got to design the thing. That's going to take, you know, the majority of the remainder of the year to get through the design phase and get out to bidding. So we're going to lose pretty much a year in that process alone.
Okay. Any more questions? Looking for a motion to approve. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Motion to approve 23-1076.
I'd like to make a motion. We approve resolution 23-1076.
I have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
I have a motion in 2 seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Resolution 23-1077, the DEQ Storm Water Mapping Grant Intergovernmental Agreement. By title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 23-1077, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, to complete mapping of the stormwater system as fulfillment of the DEQ 319 Stormwater Mapping Grant.
Thank you. Cindy, we're looking for a staff report from Thomas, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So I'll make this this one brief. This is also a grant project, and it was offered by the Department of Environmental Quality. Some time back, if you can remember, we were awarded that grant. We put in for it. The city was approved. It's a much lower threshold. Only the total, once the entire funding gets released, is $24,000. The amount in this agreement is about a little more than $9,100. The additional funding will be following shortly after. But you accepted the award grant some time back. This is the intergovernmental agreement between us and DEQ to essentially execute and carry out the project. Lori Price from Engineering Services, she is kind of the engineer that's directed by DEQ to work on this project. This, just by way of information, what this does is that the engineer goes out, she takes levels, measurements of our stormwater system, she's able to transfer that on electronically, and we're able to get a map out of it. So we have a realistic idea on what our stormwater system looks like in map form. The good news about this one, it has a 40% match from DEQ, but We are allowed to cover that through in-kind work, which means if we have staff do work on it, we can cover that. And the individual that has volunteered to take all the data into the GIS system, store it on their enterprise server, is Douglas County Public Works or Viola Greenberg. So this will not be any financial encumbrance to the city whatsoever. This does involve six jurisdictions, but Winston is first. Winston will have our mapping and our process done first. So happy to answer any questions. This is essentially the agreement that goes along with that grant process.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the audience? Any questions for Thomas from council? Someone like to offer a motion to approve?
I will move to approve resolution 23-1077.
Have a motion looking for a second.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Motion carries. Ordinance 22708, CenturyLink franchise agreement. By title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. This is actually the second reading of ordinance number 22-708. I said that at the public hearing earlier. Quest Corporation, DBA CenturyLink QC, on behalf of itself and its operating affiliates, CenturyLink, which is authorized to do business within the state of Oregon, has filed with the City of Winston, State of Oregon, the City, a written application for renewal of its franchise to locate, construct, operate, and maintain telecommunications system, the system, over, under, along, and across all cities, rights of way, and public property in the city for the purposes of providing telecommunications services and sales, and the city has determined it is in the interest of persons and businesses in this jurisdiction to have access to CenturyLink services.
Thank you. Looking for a staff report. Thomas, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. I have nothing to add to the previous staff report. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions or comments from the audience on the ordinance? Council? Motion to approve, please.
Make a motion that we approve ordinance number 22708.
Have a motion to approve. Looking for a second?
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Upcoming agenda items, anything you want to talk about, Mr. Bauer?
Not at this time.
Non-agenda items from council?
Where do we stand about getting a student from the high school to as a representative?
Yeah, I can answer that, Mayor, members of council. by virtue of my conversations because of the SRT project, or Safe Routes to School, with the school superintendent Kim Kellison, she came some time back. You had an introduction from her. That was brought up by staff, and she had mentioned to us that she has a couple of candidates in mind from Mr. O'Toole's class. He does the government class at the down at the high school. So by way of follow-up, after our school board meeting, we were going to maybe try to revisit that if she has one student in mind, another student to act as a council liaison in that regard. So that is tracking in the right direction. We will try to put a plug in again in that regard.
Thank you.
Perfect. Anything else? Go to the order. The check copies were in our packet. Our computer claims in excess of $500. Announcements, economic development, March 8th at noon at City Hall. That'd be tomorrow. Who's the council liaison for that now?
We don't have one.
We don't have one.
There are a few assignments for council liaison.
Well, I'll have to talk about those. Maybe that could be a workshop. Yeah. Park Board, March 14th at 5 p.m. at City Hall. And City Council, the next meeting is the 20th at 7 p.m. City Hall. Executive session?
Yes, Your Honor. We do have one. Pursuant to ORS 192.6602H, and it's to consult with counsel on matters of legal issues.
So I'm going to call this part of the meeting closed. We'd like to ask you guys, thank you for coming.
15 minutes.
Like, thank you guys for coming. We'll open the doors again.
for executive session at 8:27.